This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
March Madness in Cleveland. All you folks that are from out of town, welcome to Cleveland, Ohio. Good luck. I don't control any of the outcomes. I'll be heading to Rocket Arena after the show today to check out, I'm guessing, the second half of game one and then game number two of the afternoon session. Anthony Lima tells me it is very cost-effective if you're looking to get into the building right now. So I just throwing that out there. Daryl Ryder, Dan Medigan is in the house as well. Baskin and Phelps, without the Baskin, without the Phelps. Good morning, Dan.
I saw like $20 to get in yesterday. I was looking just for fun.
It's less than that.
Wow.
It is less than that.
Damn, get yourself an afternoon of basketball.
So if you are looking, if you are looking for something to do today that does not involve work... good seats apparently are available at Rocket Arena to watch some March Madness. Yesterday, not really much of a crazy opening to the tournament like we've been accustomed to. If you have Clemson in your bracket, my condolences to you. You are now busted, right?
That's you're out. Good night, everybody.
You are now officially busted. But yeah, not a big crazy opening to the tournament. I was I was a recliner potato. I actually fell asleep in my recliner. I had multi-view going on the big screen.
Good man.
Went to bed last night climbed into bed around 10:30, thinking, oh yeah, you know, like the good old days, I'm going to be up till 1 o'clock in the morning watching all the games. And apparently I must have passed out because I woke up this morning, the television was still on. I missed the endings to the late games. But yeah, March Madness is here. Hopefully a compelling group of games. Alabama seems to be the big name in town of the teams that Cleveland got awarded.
Michigan, you know, State as well.
You know Tom Izzo in town, and Dan Lobby, our good friend from Cleveland.com, I guess made the mistake of asking Tom Izzo about yelling at players or getting yelled at at players. I read Dan's piece yesterday. I saw his posts on X. But yeah, Izzo and Michigan State are here as well. So I don't know. Do we just Sharpie both of those teams into the Sweet 16?
I think so. I mean, I think that's usually the way it goes. It's March, right? This is Izzo season. So we pretty much always look at that Michigan State team and we can point out the flaws until we're blue in the face. But yet somehow Izzo sprinkles his magic pixie dust and here they are in a Sweet 16 or into an Elite Eight. It happens so often. I don't know as much about that Alabama thing. I haven't had my eye on it, except for all those SEC teams making the tournament, which I think is honestly more of a product of just expanded conferences than it is like an SEC bias or anything like that. It's just that now all of these teams are in two completely separate conferences, and so it feels like more of them are in there than you would in the past because they were more spread out in different conferences.
All right, the first game, by the way, if you are headed to Rocket Arena this afternoon, game number one is Alabama. The two seed there taking on 15th seeded Robert Morris. So, Good luck to Robert Morris.
Yeah. Yeah. But the funky thing is, man, as much as, you know, we sit there and look at these things, we are now in this era where the three-point line can dictate so much. And you catch that team that catches fire from three, and all of a sudden we're having a different conversation. And these games are getting to be nail-biters because team caught fire from three, and there's not a darn thing you can do.
And for you night owls, the big capper is Izzo Ball. It's going to be after 10. I mean, they're not going to tip at 10. But the nightcap will be Michigan State and Bryant. So another 2v15 matchup. So we start the day with Alabama, and we end the day with Michigan State. So again, should be a lot of fun over at Rocket Arena. There is, I would say, as far as natural atmospheres go, and the key word is natural, I think the NCAA tournament is unmatched. I've covered games today. I'm not I won't be working. I'm going as a fan. This will be my first sporting event. This will be my. I don't even know how to act as a fan. I have had people tell me I am no fun to go to sporting events with as a fan because I just like sit there with my arms crossed.
You can boo the refs.
I'm allowed to boo the, okay.
As a fan.
Well, that's, okay. Wait a minute, that's hogwash, because you and I have gone to a game together, and we had a good old time.
Yeah, but I don't cheer.
Well, I know that. I don't either.
So this is going to be interesting. I got to support the Buckeyes. I'm wearing Ohio State, my Ohio State hoodie today. This is going to be interesting for me, because I don't have a rooting interest in anybody today. I don't cheer at sporting events. I'm usually working them. No cheering in the press box. And even though there have been games that I've covered where there have been people sitting in press seats cheering. Especially Browns games.
It slips every so often. It slips.
Especially Browns games.
It slips.
Like you hear a roar from the press box every time the Browns score a touchdown. I realize it's a rare occurrence, but come on, can we exercise a little professionalism in here, okay?
How dare you ask for decorum? How dare you ask for decorum?
I'm asking for professionalism at a Browns game. What am I thinking?
Like that same occurrence. That's like, son, every single word you're about to hear at this game, you are not allowed to repeat to anyone over the age of 30.
We're in the circle of trust here. That's where we're at. We are in the circle of trust. So I'm looking forward to it. But there is no better natural atmosphere than the NCAA tournament. I've covered the tournament at Rocket Arena. I've covered it when it's been over at the Wolstein Center. I remember when Bruce Pearl was the head coach at Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
That's right.
And he was up and coming. And I remember sitting there listening to him. This was the workout day, happens the day before. And just sitting there, I'm like, this guy is he's not going to be at Milwaukee, Wisconsin long. This guy is going to be a big time, college Division I coach. He's going to end up at a major program. I didn't anticipate him going to programs that got, you know, hit with sanctions from the NCAA. Didn't necessarily see that one in the crystal ball. But, it's just such a fun environment. So if you've got an opportunity, whether it's today, the afternoon and evening session, and of course, the game's on Sunday, you know, I certainly encourage you to just if you're a sports fan in general, it's got to be on the bucket list of things you should do just as a sports fan. It's so much fun. The bands are playing during timeouts. The PA announcer isn't yelling, "Let's go Cleveland." You know what I mean? Like, it's just a natural atmosphere. Hopefully we get some good games too.
So what makes it that way? Since you've been there, and I have yet to do it. I've always meant to go and check out all the stuff, and I got a bunch of nonsense going on today that I can't get out of, or else I would be. But what gives it that atmosphere that you're talking about? Is it just as simple as, like, not here, just the bands and just the fan base that's been there, or is there more to it?
I think it's because a lot of college kids are there, and college kids are fun.
Absolutely.
Right? And I think that's kind of part of the you would hear the conversation in the fall when it came to Ohio State football. You know, folks would complain about the atmosphere at the Horseshoe not being raucous enough or whatever, and they say, well, it's because Ohio State's playing all these games at noon. Honestly, I think it's because all the rich people have the tickets. Like, I think that that's what it comes down to. You know, a lot of the college kids, they get priced out. You know, it's all about the program supporters and donors. And look, I get that, especially in today's world. I mean, you listen to any of these press conferences that are happening at these various tournament sites, including here in Cleveland, and coaches are, you know, they're talking about the transfer portal. They're talking about NIL and you know, revenue sharing and athletes getting their piece of the pie. And yeah, there's no question there is a transition here in college sports and college athletics. But I just think that, you know, the fact that, you know, the band, you know, you have the bands there and the cheerleaders and the college kids, and I just think it's, and look, maybe the atmosphere is a little different now. I mean, it's been a little while since I've attended an NCAA tournament game. Maybe the atmosphere is going to be a little different today. I hope not, because I remember, you know, what I experienced working those games and how fun it was to see. I mean, even the MAC tournament it is great. I know that those games don't exactly draw 20,000 fans, but, you know, they'll get 10, 15,000 for MAC tournament games. And that atmosphere can get just as raucous and entertaining and fun, especially when you get those bitter rivalries. Like, if you get you get Kent State and Akron in the same building, it's going to be a fun crowd, right?
Well, and especially the MAC side of it, they're so close to each other that a trek up to Cleveland is not terrible. Like,
right. Yeah,
there's some hikes that take place in between there, and some teams are coming from a little bit farther. But, like, you get Akron versus Kent, like, that's relatively close. You even bring in, like, Ohio University, that's 3.5 hours. Like, that's doable, especially for college kids. That's all doable in between. And so that's why I kind of wonder what this is going to be like, where I think your closest school is Michigan State. Again, geography, not my strong suit, never has been, never will be. But I think
they have this thing called Google Maps.
Oh, it's the saving grace. The saving grace of everything is Google Maps, because if you ever ask me for directions, you will not be going the direction you want to go.
I'm old enough to remember when you wanted to go anywhere outside your metro area, you would have to go to a business. I don't want to give them any free advertising, but you would have to go to a business, and you have to get these things called triptychs.
I have a great triptych story. I'll tell you off the air.
And
we don't have time now.
Like a notepad, we'd sit in the car, and it would be an event every time we'd flip the page,
mm-hmm.
because we're moving down the interstate.
Oh, we're getting closer.
We're on page 3 of 44.
We're getting closer to Yellowstone. We can do it. We're in Indiana.
So, yeah, I mean, let us know. Are you heading down to Rocket Arena today for the NCAA tournament? 216-474-0092. We're going to touch on the Browns offseason. It has been a meat and potatoes offseason. Hopefully the meat and potatoes offseason continues in the draft. The Browns still do not have a starting quarterback here on March 21st. That's the bad news. The good news is they don't have to play games until September. So might not be that big of a deal. We'll take a look at some of the candidates that may or may not be involved there. Andrew Berry's trying to put Humpty Dumpty back together. And Humpty Dumpty, in this case, isn't just the football team. It's the quarterback room. Oh, yeah, and the war of words between the city of Cleveland and the Haslam Sports Group. In case you haven't heard, it continued this week. I'll have some thoughts on that as well. Baskin and Phelps with you till 2. Daryl Ryder and Dan Medigan here on The Fan. That was Clark Kellogg with the Ken Carmen Show and Anthony Lima this morning here on The Fan, talking about the current state of college basketball when it comes to the transfer portal, NIL, players, you know, getting their piece of the pie. There, you know, a lot of programs are still trying to navigate the new world that is college basketball. Of course, the tournament is in town this weekend here in Cleveland at Rocket Arena today. The afternoon session at 12:40, number 15 Robert Morris against number 2 Alabama, and then at 3:15, it's 10th seeded Vanderbilt against number 7 seed St. Mary's. The evening session at 7:25, number 10 New Mexico against number 7 Marquette, and the nightcap, literally, number 2 Michigan State against number 15 Bryant. Again, those games taking place over at Rocket Arena. And as I said earlier, walking in, saw a couple of buses lined up outside. folks getting ready to, a couple of teams getting ready to head over to the arena and do a little March Madness, a little, little dancing here. My bracket is completely intact only because I didn't fill one out.
Good man. See, you get it. I was trying to explain this to the guys yesterday about how, like, 5 years ago, I decided I'm done filling out brackets. I'm not doing this. I don't pay a ton of attention to college basketball. And then I find myself getting mad at the fact that I don't pay attention to a ton of college basketball when my bracket goes kaboom.
Well, my best brackets I found over the years were when I don't pay any attention to college basketball. I usually run myself into trouble when filling out brackets when I think I know what I'm doing. So, yeah, got a little busy, caught up, just didn't get around to it. So that's my big confession to folks today. I failed to fill out a bracket. I did pick Florida to win everything.
There you go.
I got them winning the national championship.
Of course.
I did not pick Clemson to go to the Final Four.
Well, you got that going for you. That's a smart way to go about some things.
Sources tell me if you pick Clemson, you're in big, big trouble this morning.
You're a little sad. Yep.
But
it said like 5 years ago, and like ever since then, I have enjoyed the tournament so much more with the fact that I have nothing riding on this whatsoever. And I just sit down and go, all right, give me chaos. I want all the chaos. Burn it. Let's go. Let's burn it down. Let's have a ball.
Like, I mean, the bracket hack was always you took 10 over 7 and you took 9 over 8 all the time. And you were usually in pretty good shape. Actually, we have a couple of 10 sevens here. So I would have taken Vandy over St. Mary's, and I would take New Mexico over Marquette.
What was the other one? I always said the 5-12s. I think the 5-12s were the other one that they always said, you know, take a lot of the 12s over the 5s because those 12s tend to be, you know, those mid-majors tend to be pretty darn good.
But that was always my bracket hack, is I would take 9s over 8s, and I'd take the 10s over the 7s all day, every day, except for if it was Ohio State involved. Then, like, I would allow my Buckeye fandom to jump in front of my brain, and like I would always put Ohio State in the Sweet 16 no matter what.
Now, would you go the other direction too and have Michigan lose in the first round every time because of such things?
Every single time.
All right, good.
Good. I feel like as a Buckeye fan, I just feel an obligation there. Like going to church on Sunday, you do it because you're supposed to do it,
right?
And it makes you feel good, and it's you know. But, like, yeah, I just you have to pick against Michigan if you're an Ohio State fan.
The lady friend was going off about that last night when it came to her bracket because she had Michigan losing in the first, and that game got pretty close. So, you know, we all of a sudden became very, very heavy fans in the house of UC San Diego, the Tritons or whatever it was with the trident, because the two of us were looking at it going, wow, that's a pretty cool logo. I like that logo. I get behind that. Like,
and they squeaked by. Wolverines squeaked by.
It was a close one.
They had to sweat that one out, 68-65 yesterday. But, and I guess we learned yesterday Michigan's football program not nearly as clean as they purported it to be, apparently. So, just, you know, happened to see an indictment come down courtesy of the federal government.
Hold on. Let me act like I'm shocked.
Okay. So, I realize that's old news, but... yeah, I did put on my shocked face when I saw that pop up. Yeah, it's an obligation. You have to root against Michigan if you're a Buckeye fan. But, you know, you can't really talk a lot of trash right now because they're in the tournament, and the Buckeye basketball program right now is, I don't know if shambles is being over dramatic, but I don't feel good. And I'm leading into Ohio State as a football school. That's kind of how I'm coping with the utter disaster that the Ohio State basketball program is right now. The men's program. Let me clarify. The men's program is right now. That's my coping mechanism. Not the only Humpty Dumpty in the state that needs to be put back together, by the way.
Well, and you could always pull the classic college football thing on that too. Going, Diebler's still getting his guys in there, and we're not ready to. Have that going. He's still installing a program and a legacy. You know, you can start that whole thing that every single football school does when they bring in a new coach and struggles. Well, you know.
Do we even know who's going to be the new coach at Ohio State right now? Like, they lost their coach, right? He's leaving. He gave up, right? He raised the white flags.
Don't think that's totally the case, but eh. I don't know. I said I am the wrong one to ask on all things college basketball. I will forever state that one. I am the wrong one to ask.
I just, you know, I miss the days of football and basketball, just, you know, taking names. I almost said something else.
Yes.
Taking names. I miss the days of both of those programs taking names. The problem is Ohio State, every time it felt like they got good and they'd raise a Final Four banner, the NCAA would come and take it away.
And then have sections all of a sudden show up.
Yeah. That's my Ohio State basketball program joke there. Speaking of Humpty Dumpty being put back together, the Browns are kind of sort of being put back together this offseason in very, I would say, non-headline-making fashion. I feel like this offseason for the Browns so far has been meat and potatoes, which, by the way, is exactly what I felt they needed to do in the draft. I am on record. I'm not on board with either one of these quarterbacks, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. I just am not convinced. I'm not sold. So I'm like, you know, safe route. Either trade down or go elsewhere. Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter. There are options. But when you look at what Andrew Berry has done to this point this offseason, yesterday they bring in Tevin Jenkins from the Chicago Bears. He's a guard, but he can move around the offensive line. They brought back Tony Brown, one of their special teamers. They added another defensive end, Cornelius Lucas. He's a swing tackle. They brought him in this offseason, brought back Devin Bush again. These are things that they don't sell season tickets. They don't get fans excited, but they're very important moves in the team building scheme of things. And when you look at the current state of affairs, when you're talking about the Browns and especially like their offensive line, like, you know, keep in mind DeJuan Jones, he's coming off injury. You know, Joel Bitonio, we'll probably see him in training camp. I say that tongue in cheek, but like he's not going to do a lot this offseason. So you've created some depth and some flexibility on that offensive line, which is an area that they've needed it, because if you look what has happened to that unit in the last 3-4 years, where they've had these injuries pop up, they've had to go deep into the well at times, especially at tackle. Having that flexibility, regardless of, I don't know, whatever quarterback they're going to pull out of a hat here in the coming days, weeks, or month, you need it. So I kind of feel good about what Berry has done establishing some depth on the offensive line. I think that's really, really important, and it's also underrated. Again, it's not going to sell you a lot of jerseys in the team shop, not going to sell a lot of season tickets off of it. But I think today, the Browns' offensive line room, much, much better than it was a month ago before the new league year kicked in and free agency began. So that is a check mark for Andrew Berry. Now to the quarterback, because that's obviously what everybody wants to talk about, quarterbacks. And you know, Ken gives me grief in the morning. The afternoon boys, Nick and JP, they give me grief too. I'm not emotionally invested in what they do at quarterback. I honestly don't care. There are no good answers.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Russell Wilson, whether it's Carson Wentz, whatever. If they start Kenny Pickett, which if they had to play a game today, Kenny Pickett's their start. Whatever. It's all about what it's going to take to get to the rookie, whichever rookie they're going to draft. And the deeper and closer we get to the draft, the more and more I become convinced they're taking a quarterback. Whether I like it or not, they're going to take a quarterback with their first pick. It makes too much sense. And almost because they have to. They are at a point where they have to keep taking swings. They have to. They're at the throw stuff against the wall point of the exercise here, Dan, where they just pull a name out of a hat, throw it on the wall, and see if they can get something out of it. That's what they did with Kenny Pickett. It's what they're going to do with what again? Whether it's Wentz, Russell Wilson, somebody else,
veteran quarterback X.
Yeah, veteran quarterback X.
Are we allowed to say that, or is that like trademarked by Elon Musk?
I think if we put veteran quarterback, we're okay in front
okay.
of him. Yeah, I think we're okay there.
All right. So veteran quarterback X, and then rookie quarterback X.
Right.
For me, I don't think that the over-under total moves that much.
No.
At all.
This right now, at least, again, one man's opinion, this is a 7-win team. You're looking at a 7-win team. And that might, some people may say that's way too low. Some people may say that's way too high. The only thing, I've said it from the beginning, and I will say it until the end. Have a plan, follow the plan. Have a plan, follow the plan. That's all I care about when it comes to quarterback, is that this organization has a plan at quarterback and they execute the plan the way that they drew it up instead of running around and trying to catch lightning in a bottle.
Here's my thing. I don't know what the plan is. Okay, Russell Wilson was in last week for a visit. That went quickly. Joe Flacco's still out there. I don't know that there might be some interest there, but I don't know that there's like tangible interest there. Carson Wentz, Mary Kay Cabot had the report earlier this week. Mutual interest. Well, there should be mutual interest. Wentz is unemployed and the Browns need a quarterback.
That is correct.
Aaron Rodgers, I have no interest whatsoever. I really don't care what that guy does. Then you get into guys like Desmond Ridder and Trey Lance. Again, there are no good options at that position. I have been telling you this for weeks. I don't know. Is this the part where I pat myself on the back for being right again?
I mean, you got a long day ahead of you. I would stretch before you do that, so you don't strain anything.
So let's get into these quarterback options for the Browns. 216-476-4092. Who would you like to see the Browns pick up? What veteran has you thinking that they are going to come in and make the Browns a playoff contender? I say nobody. What say you? It's Daryl Ryder, Dan Madigan in for Baskin and Phelps till 2 on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
These segments may cause nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea, and or any other misfortunes.
If you're allergic to quarterbacks, don't listen to the segment.
If this conversation lasts more than 6 minutes, go see a doctor.
Baskin and Phelps present.
All right, so tell me again how this is not the same old Browns.
Let's find us a quarterback.
Really? Really, Dan? We're doing this?
Yep.
We're really going to do this.
You asked for it.
Wait a minute. Baskin and Phelps aren't here today. It's you and me. Why are we doing this? I opened a can of worms, didn't I?
You did. You wanted to find us a quarterback, and you know we've worked on this. We people put in time and money. Hardworking people put in time and money, and therefore we have to reward them.
I really should have workshopped this ahead of time.
These are people's jobs we're talking about, Daryl. Jobs.
Well, all right. Since you decided to go there, let's go there. All right, here we go. Not options for the Browns. Which would be the best of the worst of what's available. Sam Darnold, not available.
Nope.
He's with Seattle, 3 years, $100 million. I have no idea how he got that kind of money, but good for him. Justin Fields, not available.
Shucks.
Went to the Jets, 2 years, $40 million. Daniel Jones, who was a guy that I thought might be worth a phone call. No, he's in Indianapolis and got $14 million.
Crud.
Man, that's good money if you can get it. Marcus Mariota, another guy was like, okay, maybe worth a phone call here. Nope. Stayed with the Commanders. Got $8 million. We are out of the Browns' current budget. Jacoby Brissett. We remember him. Okay. He's in Arizona. He got $12.5 million over 2 years. Good for Jacoby. Again, good money if you can get it. Cooper Rush. Baltimore. Going to hang out with Lamar Jackson. He got $6 million a year. Out of the Browns' budget. Andy Dalton. Again, we're dumpster diving for quarterbacks here, okay? We're through the first layer of the dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed in Carolina for 2 years and $8 million. Here's the thing. Now we're getting into the Browns' budget. Like, that could have been doable.
Hmm.
Josh Dobbs, our good friend Josh Dobbs.
The Pastronaut.
The Pastronaut. He got 2 years and $8 million from the Patriots. But again, that is within the Browns' budget.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, Mason Rudolph. He's with the Steelers again.
Pass. Hard pass.
He's in the budget. 2 years, $8 million. Mac Jones, absolutely within the budget. 2 years, seven. See, we are in the right aisle, at least, right?
Right.
We're in the discount bin aisle. We're on the. I think we're reaching the clearance rack right now. Okay. Aaron Rodgers not interested. Okay. I just don't care. Russell Wilson. Jameis Winston is still available. Do we want to bring him back to throw some more picks?
It's fun football to watch.
For who?
I mean, for those couple of games where he wasn't totally throwing it all the time to the other team, but pretty entertaining. That Denver game was a good time.
Joe Flacco.
I'm good.
You're good. Okay.
Yeah, 42-year-old Joe Flacco. I'm cool. Thank you for your time. I appreciate everything that you did on that magical run. It was a lot of fun, but that was then, and this is now.
All right, what about Carson Wentz?
Of all the options, fine. But the problem is that the options are so crummy that you're in a position, man, where you're like, okay, sure, maybe there's some untapped potential there. Are you in on Carson Wentz? Is that your dude?
No.
Okay.
I'm not in on any of these guys. What'd the disclaimer say? It gives you indigestion and other...
Upset stomach diarrhea. Yes.
Yeah. That's what I have looking at this list right now.
It's understandable.
But if they sign him, I think that means the Browns officially won the Carson Wentz trade.
It's valid. It would come back full circle.
Because 10 years later, he would be a Cleveland Brown, right?
It's valid. And you got him for a lot cheaper.
Right. Desmond Ridder?
No, I watched Desmond Ridder throw passes. I'm good.
I got the guy. Case Keenum.
Get him off the insurance commercials.
I'm totally being sarcastic right now, but
get him off the insurance commercials where he's got to step in and help guys back their trucks in and do their taxes.
Who else is doing
Hang pictures?
No, not Jameis. Jacoby was doing those commercials too, right?
Yep.
These are Teddy Bridgewater.
It's brutal.
Tyler Huntley?
Yeah. It's not good.
Jeff Driscoll?
It's an ugly situation. You don't like a whole lot of these. You're basically slowly trying to talk yourself into anyone.
Do the Browns have to play? Do they have to play 17 games this year?
Or run a triple option.
Hang on, I'm checking the lease. Hang on. Yeah, they do.
Shoot.
They're legally required to play 17 games. The one thing the lease did not specify was the quality of team the Browns are required to field.
Rachel Phelps smiling somewhere.
Some of these guys are furniture movers.
Exactly. This guy's dead. Cross him off.
That's how I feel about these quarterbacks right now. So... the whole point of this was I was right. I was right. I told you so.
It's just a glorified victory lap of Daryl Ryder.
This is exactly what this is. I was right. because what is available, what is affordable, all of it is bad. Very, very bad. Not good. Unwatchable. There are some other adjectives that I would like to use to describe this, but I enjoy working here, so I won't. But this pool of quarterbacks leads me to believe not only, here's a hot take for you, not only will the Browns use the second pick in the draft to select probably Shedeur Sanders, unless they really, 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 really love Cam Ward and think he's going to flip everything on its head, then maybe you just go get him and do a deal with the Tennessee Titans here. I don't think it's worth it, but if you like a guy that much and you're in the spot that the Browns are in, they may have to do that. They might have to. And not only do that, they might have to start the kid week one, no matter what.
That I'm against.
That's how bad what is available on the veteran market is right now, though. Because none of those names that I read off, and that includes Russell Wilson, that includes Carson Wentz, none of those names that I read off, Dan, do I want to see in week one. None of them. You tell me what guy would have you excited for week one for the Cleveland Browns under center or in the pistol or in the gun.
None of them. I mean, you're 100% right. The problem is I'm always of the thought of I like to bring the rookie quarterback in, and especially when it comes to these guys where they're a little bit more on the raw side. Like even Cam Ward is a little bit of level of raw. I would like him to sit for a period of time and learn and work on his footwork and work on terminology and work on all of those different things in practice before you just get handed the keys to the car. Those guys, I know we all point to CJ Stroud and I know we all point to Jaden Daniels, but there are a lot of those other guys where that doesn't happen. They need that little bit of time to grow. They need a little bit of polish. They need all of those different things that come with it. And launching guys to the wolves, I don't think is the answer.
All I know is Jaden Daniels completed nearly 70% of his passes, had 25 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. And the Washington Commanders went to the playoffs.
Do we want to not talk Caleb Williams? I mean, because then we can have that conversation. Because he looked like a mess for a chunk of the season.
Well, I think Caleb Williams was also a victim of really, really bad coaching and a really bad organization.
Correct.
I watched Hard Knocks. Like, here's the great... People complain about Hard Knocks a lot. I actually am able to, like, see things in that episode. Like, you saw what happened to the New York football Giants coming down the pike if you watched offseason. What was it? Hard Knocks offseason with the New York Giants. Whatever they called that thing, right?
Right.
I saw the Aaron Rodgers disaster with the New York Jets. And I'm not talking about the injury part. I'm just talking about just how that organization operated.
Correct.
When I watched that series, I knew Robert Saleh was dead man walking. Just watching that series. The Chicago Bears at whatever they... training camp with the Chicago Bears, whatever they call that thing, right? With Eberflus. I watched that, and I'm like, Caleb Williams is so stuck with both arms tied behind his back. I felt bad for Caleb Williams. I felt like he was set up for failure just watching that series. You can learn a lot by watching Hard Knocks and how organizations operate. So that concludes. We don't have to do the disclaimer again, right? We've probably made everyone ill today, right?
Right.
Okay, we don't need to do the disclaimer again. That was our exploration of the yuck, and in capital letters, yuck, underlined, couple of exclamation points highlighted. That is the free agency availability of quarterbacks to the Cleveland Browns. It ain't good. Coming up next, friend of the show, Brian Anderson. We're going to talk to him about a wide variety of things. Going to find out who he's got in his Final Four. Things not so great in Tampa with the Rays these days. They got the ABS system we got to look at this spring. We'll get his thoughts on that. Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, joins at 1. We've got some folks a little nervous because the Cavs have lost 3 in a row. We'll talk to Chris about how really that's not that big of a deal. Baskin and Phelps, Daryl Ryder, and Dan Medigan with you until 2 here on The Fan.